This is Fracturing Football, where producers Jack Edwards and Noah Lichtenberg break down the latest in fantasy football news.
Welcome to 2019's first edition of Fracturing Football, only on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. I'm your host, Noah Lichtenberg, and in the studio with me, I have Jack Edwards, Luke Donovan, and Spencer Fleischer. And today, we're going to wrap up the fantasy season as a whole, as well as talk about the most exciting part of the year, the NFL playoffs.
All right, to start off today's show, we're going to talk about the best players of this past regular season of fantasy football, and topping the ESPN fantasy charts was Patrick Mahomes, with 417 total points. Is he your guys' best fantasy player of 2018, or do you have someone different that you think was better than him?
It depends, because Christian McCaffrey was a huge surprise to me, and obviously rookie Saquon Barkley, who wasn't a surprise to most, played great with only 30-something points behind Mahomes. But McCaffrey's a huge surprise for me because I did not think he was going to play well. The Panthers, I don't think, weren't coming off that good of a season, and he was not coming off that good of a season. So that was one of my, ones that could have played better than Mahomes.
I mean, there were a huge crop of young running backs that really kind of exploded this past year. I mean, about Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara continued. He proved that he had longevity, which a lot of people doubted, especially me coming into this season. Todd Gurley, as much as I don't like him personally, he continued to be one of the best running backs in the NFL, and that just shows me going into next year, something we're going to talk about later, is you have to take a running back in the first round. You just have to, because they produce so many points. They're so consistent, which is the most important thing, because you'd rather have 15 points a week than a person who puts up 21 week and 10 another week, in my view, because you want to be able to have a chance every single week in terms of fantasy playoffs to win your games.
You say you want 15 points a week and you say you have to take a running back. Well, there were only two players that got 15 points every week this season.
That was just a number I was throwing out there. But of course, you would rather have consistency is the point I'm making.
Patrick Mahomes and Devontae Adams, the Packers receiver. They were the only two to have more than 15 points in every game this year, which is why I feel like if you have one of the top five picks, you have to take a running back. But after then, if you get six or seven, and Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas are still on the board,
I definitely agree. Devontae Adams should be the number one running back, or wide receiver, excuse me, off of the board.
Yeah, I think another person, you mentioned Travis Kelce. He's right on this list. He's the number one tight end with just under 300 points. I think next year he's going to be one of those early round draft picks. I know some people in the past have liked to pick Gronk in maybe the second or the third round. I could foresee Travis Kelce. And then also, I want to ask you guys a question. How do you think George Kittle is going to do with the San Francisco 49ers as he has Jimmy Garoppolo returning?
Exactly. I mean, I think that he's bound to go upwards. Maybe he had a different kind of chemistry with Nick Mullins, which led for more consistency. But I would always trust Jimmy Garoppolo over Nick Mullins to find his guys and to create for his receivers. So I think that he's got to be up there. I think a top five tight end easily. But my issue for the draft next year, I don't like tight ends that much personally, because there's only one position of them, and I'm never starting a tight end in the flex. So I always want to go for running backs and wide receivers early on, and I think that that's something that I'm going to continue next year. As good as Travis Kelce is, I don't think he warrants a high-end pick.
For George Kittle, it depends on if the 49ers get Antonio Brown, because there's a large possibility that they do. If they do get Antonio Brown, I think that his stock will go down, and he'll be a sixth or seventh round draft pick or fifth. But if they don't get Antonio Brown, then he'll be a third or fourth.
Everybody has different strategies during fantasy drafts, whether they want to take a top-heavy tight end and maybe let a running back slip. And, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, but Zach Ertz are the three best tight ends, I think, going into next fantasy season. And I feel like Travis Kelce can easily be worth a second or third round pick, because I value him like a wide receiver. They use him as a wide receiver. He plays out wide. And, I mean, it's on the best offense in the NFL. Other than week one, he had at least 50 receiving yards in each game, which is very solid.
I mean, he definitely has a high-end floor, which is what you want from a player. And something one of the biggest parts for me, I just don't like the tight end position personally, because I find that I'd rather have depth across my entire team than have that one position. Because the other argument would be, well, there's only one tight end you can play. There's a much smaller, like the tight end market in terms of fantasy football is incredibly shallow. There's not much depth beyond like the couple top end guys.
So Jack, I was kind of wondering how you did in your fantasy leagues.
I mean, I had in most of my leagues, I took the strategy of first six rounds, not touching a tight end or a quarterback. I just take running backs and wide receivers. I think that turned out pretty well. I finished 12-1, only lost one game. Unfortunately for me, I lost in the first round of the fantasy playoffs with my best team ever. So I wouldn't trade that off. It was unfortunate, but I think that strategy definitely worked out for me. It's something I'm going to highly consider going into 2019.
So what matters is the championship. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the most common players on ESPN Fantasy Champions, number three on the list, only behind Christian McCaffrey and Patrick Mahomes, none other than Travis Kelce, in one-third of the league's winning teams. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce was on the team. So if that doesn't change your draft strategy, I don't know what will.
I mean,
I personally think that the Patriots are going to pull this one out, and not because it's going to be a last-second touchdown or anything like that. I mean, you have a heavy dose of snow coming in for that game. I think it was like around 10 inches, which is not going to let the ball travel as far, which is a big part of Mahomes' game. Whereas I feel like the Patriots running back core can get started working on the ground in the snow.
I mean, here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes has much more flair than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady just does the simple things better than anybody else in the NFL, and that's why he's the best. He is not... I mean, that's why people make the argument against him that he's not the greatest of all time, is because he just does these basic things and it's the system. Well, I mean, the system beats you every single time, and that's something you got to take into account. I think that they're so good in the playoffs. People said the Chargers were going to dominate the Patriots, or some people did at least, and half of you guys didn't even have the Patriots at this point. So I think that you got to definitely respect the Patriots for their long-term longevity and grind.
A lot of people are saying the Patriots don't have a chance to win, and I mean, I can see that. The Chiefs' offense is definitely the more superior of the two offenses. But I mean, if you look at Patriots' recent history, the last time we said they didn't have a chance to win, they made the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history against the Falcons. And even the time before that, when the Seahawks were on the one-yard line in the Super Bowl, what they do, they threw a pick. Malcolm Butler was a Super Bowl hero in that Super Bowl. I just feel like you can't count the Patriots out until the game is finally over and they're down on the scoreboard.
That's exactly what I was about to say, because you can never count out Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They're the greatest quarterback coach duo ever, and with them still in the playoffs, they're going to, no matter what happens, they're going to put up a fight. Even if they're down by 28 going into the second half, they could still come back and win.
I mean, I think that one of the biggest things that showed this is the Patriots at home this year against the Chiefs won 43-40. I mean, that was a shootout in and of itself. Something that just shows now it's flipped. It's now at Arrowhead. That's just going to mean that this game is going to be possibly now in favor of the Chiefs, and it's going to be as close as it was in the first time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to mention that I would personally pick I know we'll get to our picks later, but I would personally pick both the home teams in this case. I think that having the Saints at home was the only reason they beat the Eagles. I think that the Eagles would have won if it was at their own stadium. I feel like maybe Alshon Jeffrey would have caught the ball if it weren't for the Saint crowd. I don't know. But there were definitely offside calls and stuff that made clear there was a home field advantage. And same definitely with the true. Chiefs. I definitely think while they may not have as much of an advantage at home, they're not as a disadvantage like they would be if it was at Foxborough, where the Patriots are basically unbeatable, and especially during the playoffs.
Arrowhead is also one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, with the fans being so loud. So it'll be a challenge for Tom Brady, but he could still pull it out.
Tom Brady, it's not a challenge for him. I mean, he's played in hostile environments his whole career, and I think they're going to pull this one out because they've already played him once, and I think that benefits Belichick more than it benefits Reed. And, I mean, last time they played, Tyreek Hill had 142 yards and three touchdowns. I think Belichick's game plan is going to be to try and shut down Tyreek Hill, which may create room for Damian Williams and Travis Kelce, but I feel like this game plan for the Patriots is going to be, in the end, what determines the game.
I mean, you hit the head right on the nail, Noah. The thing is that the Chiefs are not at a disadvantage by being at home. Not an advantage. The Patriots, they don't really care. They're just going to play their game no matter where it's at. I think that another small thing to note is in this matchup between the Chiefs and the Patriots, where it was 40-43, Kareem Hunt was still on the Chiefs at that point. I mean, as talented as he was, that mean he had 10 carries, 80 yards, no touchdowns. And he was a threat with 5 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown from the backfield. Like, you lost that guy. I mean, it is an important thing. I mean, the running back's performing right now, but obviously he had to go with the issues he had. But it's another thing that's going to really make it interesting to see how close this game is going to compare to the last matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, all right. I think we should go around. Pick who you have in the Super Bowl, who you have winning, and the score. All right.
Of the Super Bowl or of the...
Of the Super Bowl. Okay. You can also include the championships if you want, but mostly the Super Bowl is what we're looking for.
I'm going to say Patriots are going to get the upset. Maybe not the upset, but they're going to beat the home team in the AFC. And I'm going to say that Drew Brees' experience is going to take the Saints over the Rams. And in the end, I think that the Patriots just better. And I think they're going to win 28-24.
I'm going to go a little different from Jack. You know, I think the Patriots are going to beat the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs are at home. And then I also think the Saints are going to beat the Patriots. But, you know, Breeze, I watched Breeze's pregame hype with the Saints, and he said three things. He said, we play because we love the game. We compete because that's what we were taught to do, and lethal, which means we have the team, we know how to win, and we're going to do it. I think Breeze is going to get number 2 Super Bowl MVP, Breeze.
I'm going to go different from both of you, and I say that the Chiefs beat the Patriots. I think that the young talent for the Chiefs will outlast the Patriots, and then the Saints will beat the Rams. Drew Brees is great. I think him and the Saints will win the Super Bowl in OT, and they'll get a game-winning touchdown.
All right, here's my picks. I changed it. Originally, I was going to choose Saints, Chiefs, before I saw the matchups this weekend. I was surprised at how well the Rams did and how poorly the Saints did. I personally thought that the Saints weren't going to make it, and I think that Sean McVay is going to be the difference. I think that the Rams are going to pull the upset. No one's going to see it coming. Mark your words. But I think they will lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, 35-14. It's going to be a blowout. Patrick Mahomes is going off. That's all I have to say. Thanks for listening. This has been Fracturing Football. Stay tuned. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE Carmel.